Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of my Savior, Spirit, lead me where my
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The confession of the mouth, I am yours and you are mine. And you are calling out to the Lord to do those things that bring him glory and cause you to be stretched. So we're looking at the tongue, a creative force, by Charles Taft. Words are the most powerful things that we have to guide and direct our physical bodies. And in this book, we are being presented with some very basic truths that we said before, we know, we believe, and yet the author is challenging us to look a little deeper in what we believe. And so he brings forth the idea, we're on chapter 4, of establishing the Word of God. And he shares with us a couple of instances and some scripture that summarizes in the fact that the body will obey words, that the body has to be trained to act upon the Word of God, and that the body obeys the command of our mind. And so as he's established this through Scripture, it then becomes our job or our task to examine ourselves and our thinking, but to start in our heart. We have often brought up the 33 heart conditions, and I believe that it is something that needs to be an integral part of our spiritual discipling and spiritual discipline, because it keeps us focused on this main element in our thinking, in our actions, and in our position with God. The scripture says we are required to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, all our strength and might. And so we see he started with all our heart. That is the element that is the foundation upon what we're made of and what we decided to release in the earth realm. What's in your heart is what you want to see happen. And so the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is to speak. And so when the mouth speaks out the abundance, and we see that word all the time, and I decided, well, let me look up abundance, so that when I say it, I understand exactly what the scripture wanted me to get the visual of. And it says to have an abundance of something is to have more than you need. It's often used to describe positive qualities. And so abundance is the opposite of scarcity. An abundance of wealth is a ton of cash. An abundance of friends sounds like a good thing, but it can get overwhelming when it comes to scheduling time in your life. But we are told out of the abundance of our heart, it is the property of a more than adequate quantity or supply. It is copious. I love that. That's my new word that I learned from looking up this word abundance, copious. It is not an adequate supply, but a more than adequate supply. You know, Christ is saying that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So that's a more of a more copious. Okay, that's a double confidence. And so a double abundance. And so all of this is things that we have been told, and we've memorized those scriptures, we've taught them and preached them and sung them, but we need to start embracing the definition of these things. So if I have more than what I need, more than enough, this is what is being more than enough love, more than enough patience, more than enough kindness, all of those conditions of the heart. If I have more than enough, things are going to start to be transformed. We are going to transition from a thinking of scarcity that we guard and we in our hearts say, I don't have much, this is mine, I got to keep it, I got to keep up with it, I got, you know, this is like, oh, I got so much, I can just let it flow, just there, because I got more than I need, so I can release it. And so what we end up releasing, though, is what's in abundance in our heart. So now if our heart has fear, then we have an abundance of it. When we release it, it's because we have an abundance of it. Because he said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. When your mouth speaks, those words create. They create. And so we often say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God is saying, and Christ was even telling the disciples in that prayer, you need to understand what to release on earth. You release on earth out of the abundance of your heart. Your words will create the environment of the earth. And so he's saying that let that be created, which is already established in heaven. So how do we know? That's because we have to study to show ourselves approved. Study to know what's going on. Study to know who this abundance in our heart came from. And how do we do that? Because once we read the Word of God, then we are introduced to the character of God, and we get introduction into what he sounds like, what he looks like, and what he feels like in the spirit realm, not in the natural, but in the spirit realm. But once we get that information, then it is facey. It's a face-off. You ever had a tug of war? So there's one side is the word of God. On the other side is the lies of the enemy. And we all say, well, I don't believe lies. Okay. Then it's the culture of the world. It is the that makes sense place that most of us grew up in, you know, that is the acceptable way to do a thing. You know, that is the ideology of a culture. You need to do this in order to be successful, or you need to do that. So that's on the other side of this tug of war, where Christ is saying that in the Word of God, you have everything you need. In the Word of God, the Lord is your shepherd. You don't have to want for anything. So this longing, this desire, the thing that is lodging in our hearts comes from a desire that we have to meet either the left side or the right side, either God's side or the world side. And the maybe more people pulling on the world side because it comes from all different genres and walks of life and different kinds of people and culture and time and everything, all those seven mountains of influence, they're all over that. And on the other side, the only mountain you have is the mountain of the Lord, even though that's the only mountain we need, okay? But we have to understand more is with us than it is with the enemy. But when you look with your eyes, which is what we've been taught to do, and say, what do you see? Okay, well, what we see don't look that encouraging. That prophet that had the young man with him, the young man was saying, I don't know. You see how many people it is? It's only a few of us. We can't get this done. And so what happened in that moment was in the heart of that prophet. He understood the abundance that he had in God. And he then asked God, with his mouth, he spoke it, release the eyes of the young man so that he could see how many people was on his side. And when that was done, oh, my goodness, the rope was pulled and everybody on the other side fell down and died, actually, in that scenario. But that is the insight that the Word of God wants us to embrace and to understand, because that is the reality in the spirit realm of what God wants us to release in the earth realm. And it's released through speaking. When the young man spoke, he spoke in fear, and fear would have been what was released in the atmosphere, but the fear met the faith of the prophet, and the prophet declared it with his mouth, God, let him see. In other words, give him sight, give him spiritual sight, and the words that the prophet released, God honored, and he allowed it in the earth realm, and it changed everything. And that's what he wants to do in our life every day. He wants us to acknowledge what he says and then to embrace it and believe it by faith and then release it in our words so that it will create heaven on earth as it is in heaven, God's kingdom, God's way, God's culture. God culture. Oh, that's cute. God culture. So what we see going into this establishing the Word of God is that, you know, and this is not that speak it and you will have it. This goes beyond that. This goes to the place of faith in something. And when you have faith in something and that something is connected to God, then God becomes the guarantor of it. And once he becomes the guarantor of it, because you believe it, when you speak it, he said his word has to come to pass. Now, we know it says that, and we said that, but we don't really believe it. And you can prove it to yourself by one of the words that you know God said, and you say, yeah, but. Once you say that but, then you are meeting a wall of unbelief. Because it has met the lie of the enemy. Because one of the things that the enemy does is with our senses, our physical senses, he tries to overcome us with what we physically touch, see, think, touch, see, smell, and hear. Smell and hear. It's five of them. I'm missing one. But anyway. You see what is being communicated to us is that we will say the word of God, but we're not seeing the word of God in the abundance of our heart, because in our heart what we see is all of that rubbish that has been placed there by the enemy. And remember, what he places there is deceitful. It's a lie, because it's not the truth of God. And so we may say, I don't believe a lie, but yet we do live our life based on untruths. How's that? Because it is not based on all of the word of God. And so as we grow and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are daily crucifying that flesh, that those five senses, to get out of control of our minds and as a result, our bodies. Because whatever comes from your heart, out of your mouth, you establish it with your mind, your body, because it hears it, comes by hearing. So what is being heard by you? Is more of the world's word or the Lord's word? Word from the word. Word from the word. So when we look at this process, this not a cycle of life, but this cycle of creation, it starts with the word. It starts with, actually, it starts with the heart's desire. And God's desire was that he make man, and he did. And he, these are things that he wants us to understand from the very beginning. This is the way it is to be, and it shall be this way as well. When it's done and done with, that is the way it will be. His will be done. He says every knee will bow. They may not bow today, but you need to believe and know and understand and anticipate the fact that they will, because he said it. Not that you see it, not because they're acting right, not because evil isn't progressing all over the world and darkness is coming in the minds of people. No matter what it looks like, God says every knee shall bow. And so we should live not in fear, but in anticipation of what God has said. We need to release that anticipation to someone. You ever had advice from someone that's been picked on and had a bully, and they say, you just stand up to them, you know. Now, I don't know how many people stood up to a bully and then got beat up. But when you stand up to them, it seems like that doesn't sound, you know, like a wise thing to do. Except those things that are wisdom to the world are foolishness to God. And that which is wise in God's kingdom seems foolishness to man. So some things you stand on, and you stand in the belief in the abundance of the truth that you have in your heart. Now, where does this abundance come from? It comes from the word of God. It comes from study to show yourself approved, so that the decisions you make when you're in contact with a choice will be the decisions coming from the kingdom of God, because you're very familiar with what the kingdom of God has, because you've been in the word of God and you believe in the truth of it. So the author shares that if you got an issue, it talks about overeating, and I love that concept, because what he says is, and I know I've said it, you know, I said, oh, I love pie. That's the abundance of my heart, is a love for pie. Not for, you know, eating properly. That's just not there. And because it's not there, you know, I have not declared it. And what I have declared has created something that was not God, is not God's perfect will. And yet he allows us, I love it where the author even says, so if you are not what God needs you to be, he don't mind if you take some medicine. He doesn't mind, you know, prayer. Absolutely. But sometimes we get to a place that he is the one that enables these individuals to come up with the knowledge for these drugs and things to assist us. The drugs, I love the way the author says medicine and the word of God work hand in hand, because they're both fighting evil. They're both fighting your sickness, even though some of the medications and sickness is questionable. But that's where you come with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because I know for a fact he will tell you what to do and how to do it. So when the author shared the fact that someone stood up and said they were taking the flu, even though that must be a phrase from regionally speaking, we say they're catching the flu, but he says they're taking the flu, and a person will look with their eyes and say, remember, this is a tug of war. And they on the God side, and the flu is on the world side, and they say, yeah, you look like it, you know. Are you sweating? Are you this and that? And they'll name all of the symptoms. Now, they're releasing these symptoms. Now, someone can say, well, they were hot. They were this. They were that. Yeah, but that was their spirit. We don't all wake up at that place. But faith will take you there when you declare. Sometimes you can't say anything, or you'll say things like everything is in divine order. What you said is true. It is the will of God. It is the way of God, and you have released it over your body. that out of the abundance of your heart, of all the stuff that you know about God, it's in divine order. And when it isn't, then I need to look at what it is and what the word says should be there. And then I need to, as the book shares, our body, I need to train. I need to train my body and my mind and my heart to train it to embrace and activate, if you will, the truth in the word of God that I am putting in me. God said he would write his word upon our hearts. So when he writes it there, there's an abundance there in that writing, because the writing comes from him, and because his word said, and because we believe in his word, then when we understand the power of who he is, and as a result, what his word does, and that goes back to creation, it created a world of life, but a universe, a galaxy, they created everything. Everything. And then he wrote something in our hearts. It has to create it in our hearts. It has to. Unless we give that authority to someone else. If you let go of the rope, then the enemy is going to win, because you have been convinced or deceived into thinking you can win, or into thinking this is the way it's going to be. Not that it should be, because most of us know how it should be. It should be this utopia, ideal place of joy and peace and holiness and birds singing and trees green and all is well. That's what it should be. That's what it's going to be when Christ is ruling. But until then, what it is we see can be transformed by what it is we have received an understanding in our eyes of our understanding to see from a God's eye view. And that's what we release. And so as he shares just different aspects of this journey, of this journey, he says, your body builds desires with words. Your body may have been trained in that matter. Mortify these desires by saying, no, in the name of Jesus, I don't desire any more of dot, 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 dot. Here he's talking about food. But whatever it is, I don't want any more. Why? Because it is not, you know, my body is a temple. We go through all those scriptures. We know those scriptures. And so that's what we're releasing. And it's not just one time. It's out of an abundance. In other words, there is only that to release. So when we get, how we get to that abundance is constantly putting the word of God as it relates to any of that connected into our hearts. And then there's only that to release from our heart. And so it says, know that this is somebody say, well, if somebody asks me and I say, I don't want no more. And, you know, it says, I don't desire any more food than what I need. Then they can say I'm lying, and they would be, because I really would want. However, not going forward, because I'm going to change my desire. Because it occurred to me when we were reading, it says, no, that's the spirit man of man talking. I'm on page 53. It says he is programmed with the word of God. And the spirit man says, I don't desire anything that would be harmful to my body. Now, that's a whole nother statement. And so I realized that comes from Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If I don't want it, it's not a desire. And if the Lord is my shepherd, as I say, then I will understand I don't want it. But see, the enemy makes you think we do. But it's a lie, because I don't. And not only did he say he's our shepherd, we shall not want, then he went into every detail of what he intend of the abundance of my relationship with the shepherd. It'll get me this, it'll get me peace, it'll get me rest, it'll give me guidance, It'll give me protection. It will give me celebration. It will, you know, it will give me a covering. It'll give me a direction. It gives me everything.
Okay.
And then it gets me to my destination. And it is there that I will be forever. Everything else is temporal on this journey. And the prize is at the end. But it's understanding with anticipation that the Lord will come, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I think a lot of people really don't want God's kingdom to come on earth because it will take away some of the things that they have become accustomed to doing, they like doing, and they know God will forgive them. But it's, you know, they want to speed. Just things that we don't really think, well, that's no big deal. But if it isn't, any unrighteousness is sin. And so any time we entertain it in any way, we are opening that portal in our life. And the only way to close that portal and that door is with the Word of God. And not just reading it, but that one-on-one with God book. As you know, you like submerge yourself in it. You know, it's like going in a swimming pool, going under the water, and nothing is around you but the Word of God. Those times of meditation, those times of going into His presence, those times of sitting and letting Him pour into you the power and the authority and an understanding of it that you have, so that when you come up out of the water, your, if you will, your spirit man is moisture. It's subtle. As it's supposed to be. It's not dry and cracky, you know, but it is smooth and it's soft and it is pliable. It's what it should be. And so when it comes up, things come against you. They don't get inside of you because your skin has been, I would say like dipped in oil, but basically dipped in the Holy Spirit oil. And so as with a duck, the water runs off of you. It doesn't get on the inside because that's where the Word does its work, is on the inside. And then as we speak, we release the Word on into the world and into our minds. That's how our minds will hear and then have faith and believe. I enjoyed the fact that the author shares some of the things we say, we have to state the positive, not the negative. It says, you know, that if you overeat, it will be harmful to your body. Therefore, speaking out of the spirit man and saying, I don't desire any more in the name of Jesus, rather than saying that other, we said, you know, I don't desire any more food. What I desire in abundance is the will of God for my life. And so it's like putting everything in His hands, it's in His hands, but I think Prophet Connie preached it. It says, hold fast to that which you have been given, that rope, that part, that Word of God. We need to hold fast to it. And hold fast means never let it go because it doesn't look like I think it should look what's going on, or because the way it looks, what is going on, or the way it feels or smells or sounds, it sounds like the enemy is and the enemy is not. God, Jesus always spoke to the problem. He spoke the desired result, the end result. We would be wise to follow His example. So He spoke to the truth that God has for the lie of the enemy. You know, He said we don't have a priest who doesn't know what we're going through, but He's been there, done that, and now He's telling us the way through it. And again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And from studying the Word, and He says it will be forever, His Word will be forever in our hearts because he has written it there. So when we start to evaluate the results of our senses, we're reasoning and rationalizing. But this, that whatever comes after that but, that's us rationalizing it, and that's us leaning on our own understanding and not being excited and trusting, and not just trusting in the Word of God. Remember, this is an abundance of what's in your heart. So not only do you trust it, you're excited about it because you know all this stuff about it. And so it's what gets you going. It's what turns your motor on. It's what makes your mind, your mouth, speak the things that your body has to follow through with. And it will because your body hears it. It hears it out of the abundance of your heart. The physical has won out over the Word of God when we say, I am sick. Your voice penetrates every fiber of your being, even to your heart, your spirit. Your tongue, the high authority, the controlling factor of the body and spirit, has declared it to be so, and all resistance to the virus cease. Now you are indeed sick. You may say, yeah, but I was feeling bad before I ever said that, on page 56. It's like, yes, the symptoms came, but the enemy can't put anything on you without your consent. Now he can cause you to feel like it's coming on. See, you go back to feeling there, that. That's why it's dangerous to live by our five senses, what you feel, see, hear, taste, and touch. And I know a lot of people, and there's a that is not totality of it. There are some things that come upon us that it is the will of God for God's perfect plan, and we understand that, but we also need to, and I love the analogy the author gives. He said, if someone came to your door and offered you a sack of rattlesnakes, would you just back off and say, well, I guess it's the will of the Lord, just dump them right here in the living room? Oh, dear God, what am I going to do with these snakes? Snakes in the pantry, snakes in the bathroom, snakes everywhere. Well, I guess this is my cross to bear. Well, you could have stopped it at the door. Be smart enough to shut the door and say, no, thank you. I don't want any. Don't give up and testify to the whole church that you have the snakes or a flu. But rather get up and tell of the goodness of God. Now, does that mean you may not feel like you have it? You may have a temperature. You may have all the things that are physically associated with it. But you have and you are who God says you are. And he says we are healed. So now we need to understand. What? Hello? We need to understand what that is, what that looks like. And whatever it is that we are experiencing, the divine purpose for it. Remember, everything is in divine order. And then also remember, the Word of God says that where two and three agree on earth, you know, it establishes it. And so if you told individuals that's how you think you feel and they agree with you, then they're helping establish something that does not have to be. So we want to remember that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we don't always, it's like the sickness and disease got in your spirit because it came out of your mouth. It was received into our spirit first. Then as you believe, you spoke. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we speak. And so we remember Paul, and he had something going on, and he went to the Lord, and the Lord gave him, the Lord addressed the problem with his word that his grace is sufficient. That was the power that the Lord needed Paul to flow from, no matter what was physically going on in his body. His heart had an abundance of understanding that the God's grace was sufficient. And this is what he spoke. He had to speak it out of his mouth. Think about what would happen to all the writings had Paul not spoke God's word. Now, not that it changed probably whatever was in his thorn in his side, but what it did was it didn't give it any purpose. No, it didn't give it any power to stop the will of God, the abundance of what was in his heart that God put there. Now, God put it there with Paul by taking him to the second heaven and showing him some things. He showed some things to Paul about himself that caused Paul to embrace the fact that his grace was sufficient to go over and above the pain his body was suffering. Now, I am a witness, and I can testify to the fact that God can do that, will do that, has done that, and will continue to do that, because there are times when the pain may be in our body. And just like with Stephen, they were stoning him. And I know that we say, you know, he was stoning. People were throwing rocks at him, hitting him in his head and his eye and his ear and his back, throwing rocks at his body, not little pebbles, but throwing rocks so much till he had to have been bruised and bleeding in the inside and out. And yet he saw joy in all of that, because his eyes were on God. His body did not entertain what was physically being done to him, and rather he made his mind embrace what God was showing him. And that's the place that God wants us to get into. And that's the place that when the world sees us there, we have left an indelible mark in their mind. Paul could not forget. He could not forget that sight that he saw. And it had to have been disturbing. It had to have been, and more than just disturbing, it had to shake his very spirit man, because he knew what they were doing to him, and yet he was not suffering. What is this? You know, what is this? Now, he may have died, but he died. His death made his transition to his glory, because his eyes were on greater things, eternal things. And so I believe that that's what God would have us to do. And then we can do what, you know, so many people are doing in this day and in this time as the missions go forth. You know, they go right into the faces. Gentleman said he's going to the place. He says it's the grave of the, I forgot what he called it, but it's a horrible place. It's a horrendous place what they're doing to Christians. And they are purposely, you know, mindfully heading straight to it with a joy of telling somebody about Jesus Christ, sharing that glorious truth, that abundance that's in their heart is coming out of their mouth in a place of open graves, in a place where there's such a hatred for Christians and for those and the word of God, that they have all of these things that and these places that they're going are the most highly populated places on earth. India is the country that has more people than anybody on the face of the earth. So the enemy is rampant there, because it is not a Christian country, but rather it's a country of Gentiles. I love the way they say it. And so, but what causes the joy of a person or the determination of a person to pack up and purposely go to a place of death. You know, and it's that's the what do you call it? That's the reputation of this place, of those saints that go there, those missionaries that go there, they're going straight into this battle, but they're going into it with a humble joy of being able to have an opportunity to do it and to be able to tell the people about the grace of God. And so their bodies are responding to the abundance of their hearts. So we want to create a different world where we live in. And the way we do it is the reverse gear of faith. And fear is produced by believing wrong things. And fear is faith in the enemy's ability. So we have to realize that he said good things of life come out of your heart. Whatever you store there, the information you program your spirit with will produce for you. It always produces after its kind. Faith produces faith, and faith is the abundance of power. Faithful, fearful words produce fear in abundance. The heart and the spirit are the same. The way you program your spirit with the words of God by saying the things about yourself that he says about you in his word. Imitate God. Say the same thing. He said, resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will flee. But he's saying how that we know how Christ resisted the enemy with the word of God and it set him to flee. Oh boy. Okay. So we'll just open it up for you to share your insights from chapter 5. Dialogue, conversation.
Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning, Elder. How are you?
I am doing well, trying to get some coffee in me. And I'm saying that by faith.
All right.
One of the things is, a couple things. This last thing that you said, that the fear is the reverse gear of faith. Just, you know, sometimes when you hear something in a way that you can really grab a hold to it, you know, and as a driver, yeah. You know, that's something that when you said that, they just kind of like, okay, that's something that just put in the Rolodex, show you how old I am of my mind. But you said, I don't know when you said, when you said either man touches it or something, what you were explaining was that when we say something by faith or the Lord gives us a word, but then the natural man touches it, you know, with the senses and takes away what we are anticipating, you know, to be manifested by those words of faith. And to me, that was the whole idea that, you know, the natural man, I think that we talk a lot about the spiritual, you know, that we are spirit beings and, you know, all those kinds of things. But it truly is so easy for our bodies to betray us in what our spirit knows to be true. You know, I mean, and I guess that's why faith comes by hearing, while your mouth is so close to you that you got to say it and you hear it almost like in a loop going back in from your heart, out of your mouth, into your ears, back, you know what I mean, that you gotta talk about the whatever it is, you know, that I am healed, that I am strong. And I think that I'll put it this way, in my experience, it truly has been that the confession, when I have a confession of faith and I hold on to it, that I see the manifestation of it. And, you know, and I guess that's not mind-blowing. I guess that's what God says is supposed to happen. But just, it is so easy to, like you said, let the natural man touch those things that God has already given you another word in another place, you know, that's elevated. But that's not what I see. That's not what I feel. That's not what I'm hearing. The scuttlebutt on the street of what, you know, what my friends or what my family is saying, or, you know, it's interesting. One of the folks that I work with has been hospitalized for like a week or so. Not the gentleman, but someone in his immediate family. And as you were saying that, I'm just thinking about the conversations that we have had. Me as well. I'm not, you know, I don't want to say that, oh, I'm the one speaking faith every time. You know, I attempt to be a beacon in that. But when I just think about the conversations that we have had regarding her, you know, we really aren't speaking words of faith. I mean, we're speaking words of fact based on what a doctor or somebody else is saying, or maybe even what she's saying. But it's interesting because it's a house of believers, you know, that the first thing out is not, you know, we're standing on the word that, you know, health and strength is yours, that, you know, you're coming back on the other way, you know. It's so, I'm just saying it's how easy it is and how programmed we are.
Right.
And we have to really almost be like in the gym of positive confession, you know, like work out every day saying what we're doing and allowing our bodies to understand, you know, what the Word of God says. And then lastly, one of the things that I know that at a point when, I think I had said this before, but there was a point I was really ill and feeling just, you know, just not feeling well at all. And one of an old sister, old saint had told me, and she's been with the Lord now probably 40 years, but it was like, how are you, well, what had happened, she was in the hospital and everybody was just talking about, you know, her situation, and they weren't talking about it in a positive way. Had an opportunity to go out and see her, and I was really shocked because she seemed like she was happy-go-lucky and all is well with God and man. You know, she's like not a care in the world. And I asked her, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm so glad to see, you know, see how you're doing, but that ain't what I heard. You know, that's not what people were saying. You know, they were saying that, you know, you were in such pain and this and that. She said, girl, I prayed to God to ask him to let me forget, erase the memory of pain. She said, I have been feeling so well. I am just waiting for the Lord to come and get me whenever that is, but I ain't got no pain. So I remembered that because it just seemed like, honestly, it seemed crazy to me. I was kind of young and crazy. You know, like, really? Really? Because she was in the hospital, you know, and all of those things. But I knew without a doubt she wasn't lying about feeling fine. Her confidence and her spirit was just glowing. You know, and this is all in the face of all these negative reports. She was like, y'all ain't got to worry about me. Like, I am, you know, like, I am cool. You know, she didn't say cool, but, you know, those are the words. And I remember when I was going through that bone marrow transplant, and it was, like, tough. And I was like, okay, Lord, if you did it, you know, we always say, if you did it before, you can do it again. If you did it for her, then you can do it for me. You know, can you just erase? Because sometimes I feel that we can be in a place where we absorb, for lack of a better word, some of the stuff. And sometimes it might not even be happening real time, but we have been in that place for so long that it just becomes a second nature. And so it's like, Lord, you know, if you can do that, you know, erase the memory of the pain. And the Lord, you know, was definitely faithful that didn't heal that situation. But as far as the peace in my body, comfort and those kinds of things, you know, because I was holding on to the faith, I mean, she was kind of the object, you know, I mean, when I say object, meaning I was holding on to what her confession, but I was turning that into my confession because I know the God that she was talking about and how the word says that by his stripes we are healed. And so it's like, okay, in spite of what they're saying, you know, I'm not at home, you know, they haven't changed anything on these papers and charts, but, you know, like, okay, I'm feeling better. I'm coming back on the other side, okay, regardless of what you say, you know. And, it's kind of one of those things, but I will say that we have to be careful that we are walking in faith and we're not just walking in the hope that maybe God is going to do that. Does that make sense? And just a brief example, I know that, like I said, when I was hospitalized, they're like, okay, we're going to put you on dialysis. I'm like, you're not putting me on dialysis. They're like, yeah, you're going to have to do this. It's been 4 days and your kidneys haven't woken up and all this. You know, they go through all the whole blah, 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 blah. My family was like going crazy. Like, are you crazy? Don't you hear these people saying you got to do this? Otherwise, you know, your system is getting more and more toxic. I'm like, God told me not to do this. And I am trusting that if they don't wake up today, they're going to wake up tomorrow. If they don't wake up tomorrow, I'm going to still be around. They're going to wake up next week. They're like, no, you don't get that much time. And it was like a 4-day window. We were doing this at the 11th hour on the 4th day. They woke up, you know, and the doctors were very aggravated with me and trying to make my family, I don't know, give me a spanking. And, you know, but I'm like, hey, that's why I ain't standing nothing over to y'all. Because this is going to be me and God. However this road goes, it's going to be me and God. You can be mad. The doctor can be mad. But God is faithful. And he did. And I just felt so confident. You know, he had really ministered to my heart. And I just felt like, no, I'm not doing it. I understand what you're saying. I'm not stupid. I know, you know, what the consequence. And if that means I'm going to glory, then I'm going to glory. But I don't believe I'm going to glory. I just believe it's going to come in God's time. And it did, you know. But like I said, if I really didn't feel certain in that, I would have never held on. Because I knew intellectually, you know, what they were saying the consequences are. But, I guess all I'm saying is that, you know, when God gives you word and you know it's God, that you can stand on that. It may not look, you know, like you want it to look. It may not be in the timing that you think and everybody else thinks. But, you know, he certainly came through. So, anyway, that's my ramble for the day.
Amen. Powerful testimony, absolutely. And I'm sure everybody on the line has one, you know, because God is faithful. And I believe as we program, and I like that because this is a technical era now, and they program things. IA is programmed. Everything is programmed to do something, and the Lord is not changing his verbiage, but sharing with us, we also have to be reprogrammed with his word, you know, to a point where, you know, as Elder Deborah told them, no, you know, it's like a computer saying that does not compute. You know, I cannot compute that. I'm not programmed to go that way. And I can't. And that's that abundance. There's nothing in me that allows me to go any other way than the way of the Lord, because the word of the Lord has been programmed in my heart. He said, I'm going to write it upon the tables of your heart. That's the best program. And you write a program. You literally write out, you know, X, Y, and if this, then that, and if not, then do this, and da-da-da-da-da. He's done all of that on our hearts, in our hearts. And now I think that our time of intimacy with him helps us to see the writing clearer and to understand what that writing means and understand the power and the scope of where that writing goes and what it covers. And that's how it becomes abundant in our hearts. And when we get that one area that comes abundant, then that is the area that our mouth is to speak for. And I was reading in the book, and they were sharing about things that you just naturally associate would come if X plus Y and minus 3 is equal to this. It naturally comes that way. And yet, it's like that is a secret fault. You know, we said, deliver thou me from presumptuous sin, and let not secret faults have dominion over me. So that's when we allow it to have dominion over me. It's secret only because it's not openly revealed, but it is what is establishing an error of thinking coming from the enemy. And so it's like even that I prayed, now I understand it better, what secret faults and presumptuous sins are. And so they do have dominion over us, because once they come, we are so by culture indoctrinated in or programmed to recognize them and to respond a certain way. Because of that, they have dominion over our thoughts and our actions and the things that come out of our mouth. I think that if we would just, you know, for one day or maybe even 2 hours, write down anything you say that is not based on the Word of God, but rather see what's based on what the culture says, what just makes sense. You know, what is, the acceptable general practice of whatever it is, and what is the Word of God. And I think on a lot of levels, we will find that we have done word curses to a level of worse, probably worse than voodoo people, mainly because we didn't know it, and we were deceived into doing it, whereas they just go flat out and out and do it. But we do it so many times over so many precious things. I remember when my kids were growing up, I was saved, but I wasn't sanctified. I was still carnal. And I had a potty mouth, and I would say GD, but I, just said it. And then one day I heard it in the spirit when my ears were opened. And it was like, I have just damned my children. My God, that was devastating. And you can believe, overseer didn't do it no more. Definitely repent, reverse it, pull it back. But when we realize what the enemy has called us to do out of something that just seems like culturally it's okay, not that it's acceptable, but it's okay, and everybody does it, okay? But then when I heard it, and then when I started hearing what curse words were really saying, and it's like, that's horrible. It's horrible. But we didn't see it that way initially when we became involved in it, or when it, just kind of flows, just because everything curses. It's hard to even see a regular commercial where there's somebody's not saying a bad word. But the whole point is that that's how the enemy has programmed us. And we need to be programmed into the Word of God, where no matter where you go, no matter who you're with, see, and that's the reason we're to have fellowship with one another, because that's that iron sharpening iron. So when you're with me, you know, I know, Elder, well, there's people that would understand this. There's certain things, if, you know, you stay around overseer, oh, there she going on that soapbox, there she going, yep, because I that's the abundance that's in my heart. I know that's what God said, and that's what I have to release. I would love sometimes not to have, no, that's not true. I know I must say it. In fact, I want to say it because I know it is freeing, and I know that it honors God. And yet there are things that we do that we don't realize. If we realize, really realize, he heard that. Okay. Or he saw that. Or he heard that thought. You know, he saw that desire, whatever it is. You know, it would make us bow in humility and in repentance. And that's why, you know, we need to do this, what we need to really do every day anyway. But in doing that, releasing it out loud so that our ears will hear and our mind and our body will understand, this is the program that you are to follow, and anything else must not compute. Okay? So praise the Lord. Anybody else? All right, all right. There are so many things going on.
I think it's good that during this Lent season, I really appreciated that statement of this, you know, monitoring or putting a watch over your mouth. And it, during this Lent season, you know, just being extremely sensitive and mindful to what's coming out of our mouth. You know, so when we look at the power of this season and then how this season concludes. And if we look at, as you stated, are our words being seed, and as we release them, they are actually being planted. And as we, you know, traverse through life, we are they are also being watered, if not by us, by our thought system, and becoming mindful of what will sprout or grow as a result. It is a very humbling thing, but it does make you want to just begin to make some notes. What is it that I'm saying? What is it that I'm confessing? What is it that I'm thinking? I may not be speaking it out loud, but I'm thinking it, and you know, giving it is taking root in my heart, so that I have a document that I can daily, you know, give back to the Lord, like, you know, do something with this thinking, because I'm thinking it and I'm speaking it subconsciously, and I'm giving life to something that I don't want to live. So I really appreciated the analogy and the testimonies that people shared, and what Elder Deborah said. And so that was just a powerful statement. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Lines are open. This is your Fellowship of Finding Fellowship of Learners. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, there is so much going on. There's the First Love Party tomorrow between 5 and 7. I ask that you remember Deacon Jamel in your prayers, as he has taken it upon himself to make sure we had a First Love Party. And he has established it, and he's gone forth to prepare for it. So he has some treats waiting for us to enjoy. And we have so many services and things that are coming up, prayer times and prayer gatherings and church conversations about those things that are going on in today's world. And so I do encourage you to look at the announcement and get details about all of these many, 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 many things. A lot of them are virtual, and so you can enjoy them virtually, or they're actually at physical locations. Some is at Labor's, and some one is, I think, Overseer Marlette has gotten off the line. But on the other side of the town at a church is where Prophet and Apostle Holiday, I think, is going to be. But look it up. There's a lot going on, a lot of wonderful banquets of learning that's going to be presented at the table for the body of Christ. So come get your seat at the table and enjoy the feast of the Lord is going on. I used to love that song. We need to bring that back, praise and worship. Feast of the Lord is going on. So thank you all. Embrace, know, love, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day. It's going to snow.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That was fun.
Yeah, praise God. Y'all had y'all warm weather.
You just got through talking about word curses.
I know what I'm saying. Obvious, it's gonna snow. Okay.
I'm sure one of these lessons I'm gonna talk about the spirit behind the suffering.
Okay, y'all.
Well, you know, well, wait now, because the spirit behind that is the joy of the Lord. I love watching the Lord do stuff that the world can't do nothing about, but sit down and watch it. Okay?
Oh, but bless me.
I will tell you.
Phenomenal class. Goodbye. Terrible.
God bless you. God bless you all.